Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's definitely a good day to die to yourself, which is every day. Amen. Would you grab your swords for a moment, please? And would you turn up Matthew 16? Matthew 16. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. Lord, fill us afresh this morning. Illuminate your word. And let the anointing carry your truth. In Jesus' name. In Matthew 16 and verse 24. And Jesus said to his disciples. Who did he say it to? Disciples. Somebody that wants to follow him. Somebody that wants to learn. Somebody that wants to be like Christ. He said to them, if anyone desires, everyone say desire, to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So he says, if you have a desire to come after me, there's a few things you're going to have to do. I mean, these are requirements. These are fruits of individuals wanting to go after God. He said, you know, there's many people that say they know God and say they want to go after God, but they really don't. Because they're a bunch of words. And that's what God is doing right now. He's shaking everything. Shaking. So that people with words will become fruitful. So that they're not just words. He's shaking everything right now. The whole earth is being shaken. Everything is being shaken. And only things that stand are those things that are associated with God's kingdom. And he says, listen, if you really want to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself. Because these are things that it will interfere with you coming after me. You. You're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to pick up your cross. In other words, you're going to be persecuted. There's going to be resistance in following me. But as you endure, you will follow. You will break through. In other words, so many times we say we're going through something. But in that, we don't realize that what we just spoke is true reality. We are supposed to go through it, not get stuck in it. Man, I'm going through something. Praise God. At least you're going through it. You know, we get so caught up when we look at going through something, going to stay there. But if you truly are going after the Lord, that means you're going to deny yourself. The reason why you're going through it is there something that God is trying to bring up so you can deny yourself. And he says, listen, if you really want to follow me, if you really want to be my disciple, and you really want to come after me, truly, not just with your mouth, and not just to use me, but if you really want to come after me, it means you want to be like him. He says you're going to have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and then follow. For whoever desires to save his life will what? Lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Will find it. That is so powerful. I mean, these are just awesome words that the Lord has spoken. And the reality of what he desires for someone to say he's his disciple. You want to tell people you're a disciple? Well, then you better fulfill these requirements. These are requirements of a disciple. To deny oneself, pick up the cross, and follow. In other words, you got to lose your life. You've got to lose your life so that you can walk in his life. Remember, when you gave your life to Christ, it's not yours anymore, right? It's amazing how many times we still fight for our life. When we're only supposed to fight for the presence of God, which maintains his life, right? So what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in his glory, the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His glory. You know how many people have gone home in their sleep? They never tasted death at all. Hello? You know, when you are right with God, even though you're going through and going through the exchange of this natural life to the eternal life, you are not dying. You are starting a new life. The life that was prepared for you before all the earth was created to be eternal beings. So in this, there's an area where he says, listen, if you want to come after me, these are the greatest words. The greatest words, because he was the greatest example. You must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow. He would not be able to say that if he couldn't fulfill it. Go to Luke 14, in verse 25. Luke 14, in verse 25, would you read it with me? Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. So these are requirements of being a disciple. And it doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, hate. Does everybody understand that? There's an area where God expresses hate in the area where he is first. And we're to hate everything else. But that hatred doesn't mean to hate according to the demonic forces of hate. It's an area that God is your first love. Your first love. In other words, the will of God is you and God, you and God, and you and God. So many times I hear, the will of God is you and God, you and your family, you and your work, and you and your ministry. No. I'm sorry. That is totally not doctrinal. The will of God is you and God, you and God, and you and God. And when you maintain those three areas of God's will, everything else will fall into place. See, what the enemy tries to do is put something between you and God, and that's his job. So people think they go to church, well, that's me and God. Now it's time for me and family. When God is telling you to do something and you're ignoring him because you've gone to the level of me and family. Oh, it's family day when God's telling me to go do this and go do that. No, that's not God's will. It's you and God, and you and God. Has everybody got it? Why? Because he said you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow. That is the will of God. So he says, man, you got to hate everything else. In verse 27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So he knows that the cross is a representation of resistance. There's going to be resistance. You've got to bear your cross. That means you're going to have to go through. Yes, I'm going through stuff. Praise God. That's bearing your cross. That means you're not going to be moved. You're not going to let go. You're not going to sway to the right or left. You are going to go through. You are going to be consistent. You're going to be accountable, and you're going to be faithful. And you're not going to put your agenda before God's. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down and first count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and it is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Forsaking all. In other words, come after him as a disciple. I have to explain to you something very important, what's happening, because the Spirit keeps burning this in my spirit. There is a shaking going on. Your cross is going to be harder to bear right now. There's a deeper shaking. There's a shaking in everybody's life, and it's growing. It's not getting less. It's growing. The only way it can get less is the more you die. Other than that, that shaking is going to continue. And the purpose of the shaking is for a deeper level of self-denial, for a deeper level of the anointing. Many who say they know Him will be challenged in their confession. There's many people out there right now who say they know the Lord, and they will be challenged in their confession. They'll be challenged to whether they will deny Him or confess Him before men. There's many closet so-called Christians. They are not Christians. There's no such thing as a closet Christian. He said, don't shine your light underneath the bed. Shine it out in the open. And I'm telling you, you are going to be challenged of who you are. Not only will God allow the challenging, but the enemy is going to challenge you to quiet you. He's going to threaten you. He's going to try and bring you into fear. He's going to try to convince you in every way possible that you are not a child of God. And He's going to do that by the area of what you confess. Remember, Peter denied Christ 3 times, didn't he? He was torn up. But he repented, didn't he? See, but when we're disobedient, we deny Christ. See, you're going to be challenged on what you confess and stand up for the truth and what your conduct is to live the truth. And those two areas is how you are going to be challenged. And God is allowing the shaking right now. He's allowing the challenge to see where you are. Actually, He knows where we are. He wants you to know where you are. So right now, all over this country especially, that's supposed to be a Christian country, people are being challenged in their faith. The Bible says, in the latter days, many will depart from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And I can tell you, there's a lot of doctrines of demons going on. And a doctrine of demon does nothing but promote self. There's a lot of politicians. Oh, don't be afraid to talk about. I don't care if I talk about politics. If God be for me, who can be against me? There's a lot of politicians that are proclaiming to be believers, but they won't stand up for Christ and promote individuals and put them in office that promote abortion and same-sex marriage, and come against the honorable, the moral, and eternal ethics of God Almighty. These are individuals that will not confess Christ, but deny Him for their own agenda. And that's what God is checking us all out now. Whose agenda are you fulfilling? Yours or His? This is where we're at. This is why the shaking is coming. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a dismantling happening. A dismantling. It's called the dismantle of self. It's happening right now. Oh, glory. Jeremiah 18. So the reason why you're going through it is because there's a shaking. The whole thing is to get through it. And you'll stay there until the dismantle of self. Until you cooperate with the dismantle of self. Well, you'll stay there. And you'll wonder why you're not progressing. Always, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. See, we were talking about this the other day, and the Spirit quickened us on this. There are people that are growing, but not maturing. In other words, they're growing, growing, and growing, and getting knowledge. Yeah, they get knowledge, but they're not maturing. Because to mature takes three things. Denying of yourself. Picking up your cross and follow. So you can have all this knowledge and still not mature. Has everybody got it? There's a lot of people growing in knowledge, always learning, 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 but never coming to the knowledge of the truth, which truth makes you free because you not only practice it, but you live it. So there's a difference. Again, there's a lot of people growing, but not maturing. Because in maturing stages, you're not moved. You're willing to die for the truth. You don't have a life. You are surrendered it. You no longer fight for your life. You fight for the life of Christ. Maturity. So there's a lot of people, again, I want to share with you that are growing, but not maturing. And maturing is always tested. God will always allow the challenge to see where you are. Again, He knows where you are. He wants you to know where you are. And some people think that they're matured. He brings them down. Because they've got a lot of knowledge, and they're growing in knowledge, but they're not maturing in the Spirit. That's in relationship. That's in obedience. That's in submission. That's in surrender. All of these areas are associated with mature. Oh, great, you've been to 16 Bible colleges. Bunch of cemeteries. A lot of knowledge. But no maturing. Maturity is an area where you are steadfast. No matter what. Your purpose is fulfillment of the kingdom, of the life and ethics and moral aspects of the kingdom of God. The kingdom is number one to you. Number one. And everything associated with it, associated to the king. Has everybody got it? Glory. Jeremiah 18. Is everybody there? Verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Well, welcome to the potter's park. This is the potter's park. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something out at the wheel. The wheel represents the Spirit. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. In other words, he was dismantling something and remolding it. Then a word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, O body of Christ, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, and so are you in my hand. The instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent from the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. That's why there's the shaking. God is trying to avoid His children from coming under judgment. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning the kingdom to build and plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent from concerning the good with which I said I would benefit. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. That's called the shaking. Return now everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. And they said that it is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans. In other words, their own agendas. And we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. In other words, their own agendas. Therefore, thus says the Lord, ask now among the Gentiles who has heard such a things. The Virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow water of Lebanon, which comes from the rock of the field? Will the cold flowing waters be forsaken for strange waters? That means the exchange of the anointing of God for the anointing of the enemy, promises of the enemy. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to what? Worthless what? Idols. Idols. And they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways, from the ancient paths to walk in the pathways and not on a highway, to make their land desolate into perpetual hissing. Everyone passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. In other words, what they did is they refused to allow the dismantling of self. In other words, they refused to allow God to remove their idols. They refused to allow God to remove their idols. The word mantle here, dismantle, means to strip your covering or protection or defense. The things that you are leaning on according to the worldly ways. To uncover or remove those things that we rely on for strength, security, and ego. Oh. According to the worldly ways. These things are called idols. Idols. Ezekiel 14. So the dismantle of self is actually in cooperation with allowing God to dismantle or remove the idols from your life. God is dismantling self in the body of Christ. That's why there's a shaking. That's why there's an exposing. Because anything that's interfering with his agenda is an idol. Come on, say it with me. Anything that interferes with his agenda is an idol. Can you be an idol? Amen. That's why we need to dismantle self. Things associating that need to be dismantled in our life, that need to be uncovered, stripped away. That's what's happening right now. Yes, you know, one of the things is when you reject the conviction of the Lord, the guilt of the devil comes. See, because the conviction of the Lord wants to free you, the guilt of the devil brings you bondage, brings torment, until things are dismantled. See, the purpose of conviction is to expose and dismantle. Amen. So when there's not the cooperation with the dismantling, there's guilt and condemnation. Ezekiel 14, is everybody there? In verse 1, is everybody okay? How you getting this? Would you read it with me? Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. Ooh. And put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? In other words, should I hear them? Should I let them come to me and talk to me? Should I answer them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes them to stumble into iniquity and then comes to the prophet, and I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Can a job be an idol? Amen. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against him, that man, and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Now that is very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. In other words, in this, he said, these idols are in the heart, they cause. Idols promote self. Everyone say idols promote self. And the people of God, it's time for them to turn away from their following these idols, for trusting in these idols. These are things that promote self. And it prevents an individual from following the Lord, trusting the Lord, and submitting to the Lord. What does it do? It prevents an individual from what? Following the Lord, trusting the Lord, and submitting to the Lord, so that the agenda of self can come before the agenda of God. And the shaking right now is to dismantle these things in our life. Anything that to dismantle of self are idols in our life. In 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Now the mantle is a representation of God's anointing. It's a representation of God's anointing. And one of the things the enemy wants to do with idols is to dismantle you. That means separate you from God's anointing. Prevent you from following the anointing of the Lord, from serving the anointing. Again, many people think that the anointing is to serve them, but you're to be a servant of the anointing. Because the ones that, hey, God can use anybody, can't he? It doesn't matter. His whole purpose is that all men be saved. Because even in the scripture says, many will come before me and say, Lord, I did this, I cast out devils, laid hands on the sick, I prophesied, and he says, depart from me, I don't know you. Why? Because they tried to use the anointing, but were still living a lawless life. In true reality, they had idols in their life that were causing self-promotion and thinking just because God was using them that they could go do whatever they wanted to do and get away with it. Sorry. Never allow the enemy to manipulate you and deceive you just because God used you that you're right with God. Because God used these individuals and they were not right with God. That's why you examine yourself by your fruit. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 5, would you read it with me? Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? So he answered and said, I know, yes, keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me under the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that way, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Hallelujah. See, Elijah was a servant to the anointing. The mantle was a representation of the anointing of God. And verse 9. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so. So Elisha had to stay in the spirit all the way till Elijah was taken. See, the enemy was going to try to put an idol, try to dismantle him from the anointing. He was going to try to do everything because he had to maintain the focus to receive the transfer of the anointing. Does everybody got that? And see, so many times the enemy puts things in your life that and moves you. And what it does is it dismantles the anointing in your life, where you begin to do your own agenda instead of the agenda of the Lord. In verse 11, Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha, what? He saw it. He stayed in the spirit. He fought. He endured. Even though the prophets, the sons of the prophets came out and said, man, try to discourage him. Try to mislead him. And he said, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. In other words, I see it. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the what? Mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him. Why? Not to worship him, but to become servants to the anointing. Does everybody see this? To become servants to the what? Anointing. Yes. And to become servants to the anointing, Jesus said, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's called a disciple. A disciple is a servant to the anointing, not a servant to self. The mantle is the anointing. It is the mantle. Now, I want you to get this here. Because the anointing is the promoter of the eternal order of purpose. Is the promoter of the eternal order of purpose. In other words, God's will in this realm. The anointing is the promoter of the eternal order of purpose in this realm. It is also, hallelujah, the protector of his carriers of the eternal presence, power, and truth. In other words, it also protects us. That's why the word says we are more than what? Conquerors. He who is in me is greater than what? He who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These are areas where the anointing is the promoter of the eternal order of purpose in this realm and is the protector of those who are the carriers of the anointing, which is the eternal presence, power, and truth. Now, the enemy uses idols to dismantle God's children to carry out his purpose. You are in a world sent by God to fulfill a predestined purpose. The only reason why you're in this world is because God sent you. Every one of us has a purpose to fulfill God's will. You and I were brought in. It doesn't matter how you came in here. Hello? You came. And you're in this realm. God sent you into this realm from the eternal realm to fulfill his purpose and had his anointing waiting for you the whole time. You know how many people that are believers will never know the anointing? Never know. Never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Never know. The only relationship they have is with the Word and never the person. Because see, the anointing represents the person. The person. The eternal presence, power, and truth. That's the person. He's called God. Yes. So you are in the world sent by God to fulfill a predestined purpose, and you must learn the things that promote or protect self to dismantle them. Now we must know and learn the things that promote and protect self so we can cooperate with the dismantling of self. Has everybody got it? Why? Because either self is going to get dismantled or you will from the anointing. And that's why there's the shaking. 1 Samuel 15. And don't but. No button. 1 Samuel 15. Verse 17. So Samuel said to Saul, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? And why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but, he had a but ministry too, I have obeyed the Lord, the voice of the Lord, and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the, he did but again, didn't he? But the people took of the plunder. Let me share something with you. When there's a lot of buts, there's an idol. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel stood there and thought, it sounds good, but it ain't God. Is everybody with me? Oh, that sounds good, Saul. There's a lot of justification. Good reasoning. Those are called human precepts. You still disobeyed the Lord and what he told you to do. You've gotten into the butt ministry because there's idols in your life and you're the number one. In verse 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now, stubbornness is an iniquity and what? Idolatry. Is that idols? Yes. So Saul was dismantled of the anointing. He was dismantled of God's purpose. Disobedience, rebellion, stubbornness is a promoter of self. And those are things that God wants to dismantle. These are called idols. And we're going to talk about promoters and protectors of self. So disobedience is a promoter. Rebellion is a promoter. Stubbornness is a promoter. And these are called idols. Idols are promoters of self, and they are backed by witchcraft because they are induced by them. They're enforced by them. They are called what? Promoters. They promote self. Is everybody with me? 1 John 2. 1 John 2. So one of the things that God is bringing us to right now and why the shaking is happening, because there's a dismantle of self and we must cooperate with it. So we must begin to discern the things that are promoters of self and protectors of self. And of course, promoters of the anointing and protectors of the anointing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the what? Flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of pride is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Ooh, let's go a little further. Now he talks about lust, right? Lust is a promoter. Lust is a promoter of self. Is everybody with me? And it must be dismantled, or it'll dismantle you from the anointing. Lust is a promoter of self. Then he goes on to verse 18, and he says, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Antichrist means spirit against the anointing. Even now many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. There are many antichrists out there. In other words, people are being used by demonic forces to come against the anointing or dismantle the anointing in believers' lives. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For that they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were us, of us. In other words, when an individual is moved out of position, that individual has been dismantled by the enemy with an idol and moved out of position. He says something powerful. He says, but you have a what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you know what? All things. So the anointing's going to tell you. The anointing's going to teach you, isn't it? You're going to know. But one of the things the anointing is going to do is going to bring things in your path for you to learn and grow and mature. In other words, you'll be challenged for maturity. You're not challenged for growth. You are challenged for maturity. Because anybody can grow and not be mature. Hello. Promoters of self. How about jealousy? Promoters of self is what? Jealousy. How about envy? How about, we talked about rebellion. How about disobedience? What would fear be? It's a protector of self, isn't it? Pride protects self. Fear protects pride. Anger protects fear. Lying, hello, protects anger. All of those are protectors of self, though, aren't they? So there's a difference in being things that protect self and things that promote self. Jealousy promotes it. Envy, rebellion, disobedience. How about anxiousness? It promotes it. How about greed? It promotes it. How about offense? It promotes it. Lust promotes it. How about unforgiveness? Promotes it. How about rejection? Promotes it. Does everybody understand? There are things that promote self and things that protect self. And these are the things that promote it and protect it that God wants to dismantle from self. Proverbs 3. This is where we want to have discernment of those things. Proverbs chapter 3. Everybody okay? You getting this? So you got to ask for discernment, don't you? Lord, what's in my life that's promoting self or protecting self? Why? Because the enemy wants to use those things to dismantle you from carrying the anointing and being obedient to God. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. Would you read it? My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands for length of days and long life and peace that will add to you. Okay, here we go. Are you ready for this? So we see here in this verse, he's saying, obey. Obey my law. Obey my ways. Is that a promoter or a protector of the anointing? It's a promoter. Obedience promotes the anointing. Why? Because the more you're obedient, the more God releases the anointing to you. Because you're earning His trust. Has everybody got it? So obedience is a promoter to the anointing. How about disobedience? What's disobedience? It's a promoter of the what? Self. In verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart and find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So mercy and truth are protectors. Mercy and truth are protectors. Obedience is a promoter to the anointing. I'm talking about the anointing now. Obedience is a promoter to the anointing. Mercy and truth is a protector to the anointing. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall what? Direct your path. Wow. So here in verse 5 and 6, we've got here where there is trust and acknowledging Him in all of your ways. And these things are promoters to the anointing. They are promoters to the anointing. In verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Fear is a protector. The fear of the Lord as a protector to the anointing. In other words, if the fear of the Lord is not there, either is the anointing. Has everybody got it? That means you've been dismantled. And there's an idol there. Anywhere that there's a place in your life where there's a dismantle of the anointing, there's an idol. Because it's a promoter of self. Verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns shall be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with what? New wine. Honoring the Lord. In other words, you're honoring the Lord with your possessions. You're not stealing from Him. Would a man rob God by tithes and offerings and so forth? In other words, you're honoring Him with your first possessions. You're giving God what's due to Him. That is a promoter of the anointing. Honoring and giving of your first possessions. That is a promoter of the anointing. Verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Chastening is a protector to the anointing. Verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. Wisdom is a promoter to the anointing. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a what? Well, what's that? That's associated, it's a promoter of the anointing, isn't it? To those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. So there's a difference between promotion, promoting, and protecting the anointing, isn't there? And the fear of the Lord is a protector of the anointing. Go to Psalm 1. Dismantle of self. Would you read it with me, please? Psalm 1, 1. 1, 1 and 1 and 1. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Protector or promoter? Protector. So everybody got it? Protector. Why? You're protecting and anointing by not receiving ungodly counsel. In other words, the things you hear. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Hello. Protector of the anointing. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. What's that? Promoter. He delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He's a promoter of the anointing. This is promoting the anointing, isn't it? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Well, prosper, yeah, man, because if you're protecting and doing things that are promoting the anointing, you're going to prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Promoting and protecting the anointing. And promoting and those things that protect self. All of those things associated to self must be dismantled. They are called idols. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. How about worship? How about praise? What's that? It's a promoter, isn't it? Hallelujah. What about religion? No, man. Something but stinky. That's where a lot of knowledge, no maturity. Hello. No maturity. And the devil always likes to get people caught up in serving and worshiping the ritual instead of worshiping the Lord. And that's where your priesthood must be maintained. We must be worship. The Bible says the Father searches those who will worship Him in truth and spirit. So worship and praise will promote the anointing in your life. I'm saying worship and praise. This is not where you just go sing a song and say, and leave. This is where you press in. You press in. You desire the presence of God more than anything in your life. Praise and worship. Well, I just don't believe that way. Well, then you don't believe the word. And you're an idiot. Spiritually blinded. Can never mature. You'll learn, and never come to the knowledge of the truth where you walk in truth, express the truth, and express His character. And you can't dismantle those things that are promoting self and protecting self because you can't see them. Has everybody got it? Because only through the anointing are you able to see. The anointing gives you sight. The anointing gives you power. The anointing tells you all things, tells you things that are coming. The anointing. Everything's the anointing. That's why the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. David cried out, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Make no place for the devil, because if you make place for a devil, then you grieve the Holy Spirit. And you're either allowing a promotion and protection of self, or you're dismantling it. One or the other. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14, do not be what? Do not be what? Unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion is light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement is the temple of God with what? Idols. For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. If you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. Those are called idols. And I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. So he's saying, come out from among them. Those things that cause you to stumble. By having idols in your life. You know, so many times people worship the pigskin. They sing praises to the pigskin more than they do to God. Man, you kidding me? They won't miss a Sunday's, they won't miss a Sunday football game. They won't miss anything associated with sports. And they allow it to replace the things of God. That's called an idol. Man, they'll go to that football game, basketball game, whatever it is, and yoo-hoo, yeah, go, road, all of these other things, and it comes to church. They become a statue. See, that's their idol now. That's their idol. They'd rather worship the pigskin instead of the Creator. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So we know these things are attached to us in many ways. As for emotional attachment, the enemy doesn't attack. He doesn't come to you and say, hi, my name is the devil. I'm going to attack you today. And this is my plan. Even though he might do it to some people and they still can't figure it out. For some people, they probably get a letter ahead of time. Hi, I'm going to do this. They go, oh, really? Hallelujah. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And a stronghold is a memory lie. Something what an individual agrees with through a thought. casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, we are to cast down these thoughts that will dismantle you from promoting or protecting the anointing. One of the things that the devil loves to do is reattach individuals to emotional attachments. And these emotional attachments are actually idols and don't even realize it. And the devil has access to anyone where there's an emotional attachment. And we have a powerful teaching called emotional attachments. And I've got to tell you that it's probably one of the most devastating blows to the kingdom of darkness and God revealing this weapon of emotional attachments. That's why people can't let go of their children who are out there messing up. They think they got to do it all for them. Like, what can you do that God can't? And then the enemy has access to you to bring you guilt, condemnation, torment, worry, and fear, and everything else. Anywhere there's an emotional attachment, it is a direct line of the enemy's voice to you. It's like you're just connected to the phone line. All emotional attachments must be severed. They must be severed with your spouses, your children, your jobs, every idol in your life. Yes, but I love them. It's got nothing to do with loving them. It's called an emotional attachment. I sever myself every day from my wife and children. I love them. But I cannot be emotionally attached in the arena where the devil has access to me. See, so many people don't realize that they're being tormented because they're emotionally attached. You can be emotionally attached to your sickness. Is fear an emotional attachment? Hello? Wait a minute. Didn't you give your life to the Lord? So you don't have a life, right? So why would you want to be emotionally attached to anything of this life? The bottom line is that you and God, right? Isn't there three wills? God, God, and God? Good, acceptable, and perfect. Hallelujah. So you must begin to sever yourself. Why? Because these attachments are idols. They're emotionally attached to us. Things of your past. Even your successes can be emotional attachment. Your talents can be emotional attachment. Doesn't mean you don't love them. Has everybody got it? But you got to sever every area. It says make no place to the devil. And one of the places he makes way to you is by emotional attachments. Because his purpose is to dismantle you and promote self and protect self. Emotional attachments. How about some of the things that you blew? You messed up. Man, you're still being tormented over it. That's an emotional attachment of that event. What about a loved one you lost 14 years ago and you're still weeping and crying about it? Oh, stop. It's preventing you from going forward. That person's home praising God, and you're still mourning here. You're no good to God that way. And don't tell nobody you know Jesus if you walk around miserable. Stay home. Get in the closet. Sever yourself from all the emotional attachments. When you get filled with the Spirit and joy, peace, and righteousness, hallelujah, don't go tell somebody you know Jesus. I'm telling you, the shaking is going to get rougher. The dismantling is directed by the Lord to dismantle self. So he can build his character and image and likeness in us and through us. So we're not hesitant to confess Christ. We're not hesitant to lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. We're not hesitant to rescue with compassion. We're not hesitant to live according to the will of the Lord. We're not hesitant to remove accursed items in our life. We're not hesitant to be obedient in every area. And I want to close at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people. Everybody here is young. Yeah, but you don't know how old I am. Oh, be quiet. I'm not talking about age. The Bible says be childlike, right? That's young. I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. cloaked with humility, makes you invisible. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, what is that care going to do? It's going to bring what? It's going to become an idol. Why? Because you're so concerned about that care. It's an emotional attachment now. It's got access to you.
Yeah, but you don't know about it.
Kill it. Get rid of it. Sever it. It's all it's trying to do is dismantle you from the anointing and promote self. Has everybody got it? It's going to bring worry, isn't it? It's going to bring fear, isn't it? So get rid of it. But you don't know my circumstance. But he does. Have you lost sight of that? He says right here, here it is. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the who? The devil. The kingdom of darkness walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour or dismantle. Resist him steadfast in the what? Faith, it means spiritual sight. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Turn to your neighbor next to you and say, I know you're going through it too. I'll turn to him and say, thank God you're going to go through it. Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered a while. That's why you're going through it. Yeah, because God is trying to dismantle those things in your life. Hello? After you've gone going through the suffering, those things that God's dismantling, a while. This is not drive-through dismantling. After you've gone through some of the suffering and the dismantling's happening, you're going to be perfect. You're going to be established. You're going to be strengthened, and you're going to be settled. That's called matured. And to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Sow and reap. Yes, the dismantling is happening. And don't think you're the only one going through it. But thank God you're going to go through it. As long as you cooperate with the Lord, you're going to go through it. The dismantling of the things that protect self and promote self must be dismantled. That's why there's the shaking. The whole world is being shaken. The whole body of Christ, this country is being shaken. God is trying to bring back its true foundation. Dismantle of self. It's a wonderful thing. Why? So Christ can express more of himself in you and through you. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Seal it. Seal it. Seal it. And seal it with the blood of the Lamb and the anointing that this word seed that's been imparted in us will grow and bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.